Confirmation hearings are underway for Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The process is expected to last 3 to 4 days, with a vote coming sometime after that. By and large, Senate Republicans have been supportive of Kavanaugh since his nomination earlier this year. Democrats say the process is being rushed and are pushing back on the Trump administration's withholding of tens of thousands of documents related to the nominee. While many documents were released just hours before the hearing, Democrats protested the last-minute nature of the move. Here's Democratic Senator Kamala Harris interrupting the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, as he made his opening remarks.
The committee received just last night, less than 15 hours ago, 42,000 pages of documents that we have not had an opportunity to review or read or analyze.
You're out of order. I'll proceed.
We cannot possibly move forward, Mr. Chairman.
I extend a very warm welcome to Judge Kavanaugh.
We have not been given an opportunity to have a meaningful hearing on the nominee.
If you thought that was the peak of today's drama, not quite. Kimmy King joins us now to talk more about today's proceedings. She's a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. And that was only day one. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on day 20?
Senate confirmation hearings you don't usually think of as high drama. This one was pretty lively. Could you talk some more about what we saw throughout the day?
So it was rather lively in terms of the spirit of the protesters, and there is much of the backstory on this Senate confirmation that is not a function of Judge Kavanaugh or his record, but a function of the prior nomination, which was Neil Gorsuch. And as your viewers will undoubtedly recall, that one was held up after Justice Scalia's untimely death. The Obama administration had wanted to put in Merrick Garland, who ironically is the current chief judge on the D.C. circuit. He is Kavanaugh's boss in some ways, but Garland was stopped. And so I think that's what you can attribute much of the acrimony over as it relates to today.
I want to play a bit more from this morning's events. Here's Utah Senator Orrin Hatch.
What's remarkable about Judge Kavanaugh's judicial record is not just its length, but its depth and its quality. Judge Kavanaugh has been a true thought leader. He's written powerful opinions on the separation of powers and administrative law.
So multiple protesters shouting during the event and then removed, some arrested, Kimmy. Can you talk about that a little?
So it is the case that in high-profile congressional hearings, not just in the Senate but also in the House, you will have folks who come in because they want to make a statement. And people have some confusion thinking that there is a First Amendment right to be heard, but it depends upon the context in which that occurs. And so there is no free speech right guaranteed there in the chamber. And so it is often the case that you see people making, in essence, what are symbolic protests to disrupt the proceedings. And that's what you hear going out throughout the day. And it wasn't just that one, although that was certainly one of the more vocal ones. It went on throughout the hearing process until it was much later in the day.
Now, Democrats, in their opening statements and their procedural efforts, didn't really so much talk about Brett Kavanaugh as the process. They said it's rushed. They say a lot of information about a lot of documents related to Kavanaugh they're getting late. They're not able to release a lot into the public. Can you talk about that tactic?
So, understandably, there is this concern about what might be in other documents that Kavanaugh was involved in as it relates to the impeachment of Bill Clinton or during service, you know, to the Bush administration. And that's what the clamoring is about. Part of the reason why there are so many documents is because he has had 307 written opinions, which is and more than 10,000 pages of his writing, and in addition, 17,000 pages of speeches and articles and other documents. And so you always walk a fine line between all of the materials being out there and then all of the materials being out there. For Judge Bork, who some may remember was nominated in the 1980s, it was in all of the documents that were submitted that ultimately Bork wound up being, as we proverbially like to call it, being borked, right? He got borked because of the information that he had written in documents. So that's where part of that is coming from. but also understand that not all of the documents have to be provided when someone is serving as presidential counsel. Depending on the nature of those documents, they are not necessarily released. And so that is what the Republicans are hanging their hat on, and the Democrats are hanging it on the other side of the coat rack, saying, no, we have to be able to see everything, and there's just too much of what is here. And so that's the crux of the problem. Let's be very clear and cut through this for your listeners. This is fundamentally about people having drawn ideological lines regarding Judge Kavanaugh, and they are going to marshal every argument they can to either support him or to drop him. And that's what this is about.
Talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas about the opening day of the confirmation hearings in the Senate for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Well, let's talk about some of those ideological differences and a couple of the issues that people are watching for here. And let's start with one of the biggies, abortion access, Roe versus Wade. Justice Kavanaugh a fifth vote to overturn Roe versus Wade if a case makes it up to a new court with him on it?
So that's what's going to be interesting to see, because at the end of his days, Kennedy had become more of a supporter for abortion rights in some ways. And so that is why you see, you know, Republican senators that are pro-choice concerned, especially, you know, like Collins and Murkowski, two female Republican senators who believe they have his assurance that he has agreed Roe v. Wade is settled law. Still, there are others who point to a decision more recently involving an immigrant detainee who was a teenager seeking an abortion, and he had dissented in that case regarding this undocumented immigrant's teen's request for an abortion because she was being held in a detention center. She was at her 15th week, and ultimately what happened with Kavanaugh, without taking you into all the basics, is that he wound up being overruled by the full D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they basically dismissed the ruling or the decision, the thinking of Kavanaugh regarding that undocumented immigrant, and she was dispatched to an abortion facility via the D.C. Circuit's final decision. So that's where everyone is saying, well, does he see Roe as settled law, or will he look for ways in which it could be limited, and they will point to the undocumented immigrant case.
And abortion rights supporters say, well, it's law that was settled by a previous Supreme Court. What the Supreme Court settles, it can resettle later, right?
That's absolutely the case. Remember that in his 2006 hearings, you know, stay tuned for what's going to happen. But you're going to hear Republican senators make much of the fact that in his 2006 hearings, when he was being put forward to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, he had indicated that it was settled law, and circuit courts of appeals are required to follow settled law. But as a Supreme Court justice, you have greater latitude because you have to look very closely at the policy distinctions. And so that's why some people say that the Supreme Court makes the laws because of the way in which they decide the laws. And that's why Democrats are so scared.
Another issue that's been coming up is an issue related to separation of powers. Hypothetical questions like, say, there was a probe related to a sitting president, related issues to that came before the Supreme Court. Issues of, can you charge a president with a crime? What are people looking at with Brett Kavanaugh on that kind of issue?
So it's interesting that in some ways Kavanaugh is unique because, remember, he worked on the case to impeach Clinton. And so Kavanaugh is going to have a little bit of dissonance, I would think, inside himself if you're hypothetical, as it might possibly become not so hypothetical in the near future, you know, actually comes about, because he was supportive of the impeachment of Clinton. However, in working on the case, however, he did indicate that there might be grounds for a delay of game relating to the impeachment of a president. And that's why everyone wants to figure out what his views on presidential power would be. You heard statements from the senators today who were making their speeches, even though they were calling them opening comments, they really were speeches. They are concerned that he has a broader view of executive power and that he has been chosen by Trump for just this reason. I would point out to folks, however, that everyone said the same thing about Chief Justice Roberts, who clearly had a more expansive view of presidential power before he was nominated, and that did not stop him from being confirmed as Chief Justice of the Court.
We're talking to Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, looking at the political fight over the confirmation of Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you hoping to hear from the nominee in these confirmation hearings? What do you want senators of either party to ask of the nominee? Do you think the process is moving too quickly, or does it need to be resolved soon? What are you worried about? What are you hopeful for? And if you are a Democrat in particular, are you hoping that Democratic senators put up a big fight to set up a lot of roadblocks here? If you're a Republican, do you think this should be smooth sailing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. We continue our conversation with Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, looking at the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. They started today. We're looking at what's happened so far and what's expected in the days to come. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does Kavanaugh deserve a seat on the nation's highest court? What do you hope comes out of this vetting process in the Senate confirmation? Do you think that this is mostly just a political show, partisan debate, or can we get something useful out of this process? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Before we go to our callers, Kimmy, I want to give a listen to Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson talking to ABC News about the document issue and about the confirmation.
I mean, the Democrats have more than enough information to understand that this is a highly qualified jurist that should be the next Supreme Court justice. In an earlier time, 30 years ago, he would have passed unanimously.
Kimmy, do you agree? Three decades ago, would this be less of a contentious process, a sure thing for a judge like Kavanaugh?
I think it would be much less. I don't know that it would be a sure thing. Recall that the mid-1980s were rough on Republican nominees, and certainly Judge Bork would not agree that it was an easy haul, or some of the Bush nominees that were failed before he finally was able to go on and get some of his nominees on. But it is clear that since the 1990s, the level of Supreme Court nominations and the anger expressed in that nomination process on the side of both parties has been much more rancorous. I think I would also point out that this issue of appointing people to the bench is at the cornerstone of our judicial system. It's why we have Article 3. And in fact, if you go back to Marbury versus Madison in 1803, which basically allows for the principle of judicial review, for the courts to review the actions of Congress and the executive branch, that was about court packing. So we have always been fighting about nominating judges to the bench. It's just how mean and bloody we get when we fight that is different, and there's no doubt this one is going to be a bloodbath.
Let's go to our callers now. Ian is with us in Milwaukee. Ian, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm curious what are Brett Kavanaugh's positions on things like Citizens United and campaign finance law, if he were ever to have to pass a decision on those topics.
Ian, thanks for the call. Have we seen anything in Brett Kavanaugh's background on those campaign finance issues, Kimmy?
So there is concern. That's a great question, by the way. There has been some concern that he supports corporate interests. And in one of the decisions that deals with the ability to regulate, when he was on the Court of Appeals, Kavanaugh dissented in what the SeaWorld case, that's the whale case. And in that case, he criticized the Labor Department for having penalized SeaWorld with their regulations after a trainer died. And he argued, in essence, that they should not have been regulating that. Now, he lost. He was the dissent in that case. By the way, Merrick Garland was the chief judge in that case. So he was in the 2-1 majority that decided and said that the Labor Department could regulate. But in some ways, that has been seen as a corporate interest case, and so that might, there might be some inference there that I know about. The other case that you might possibly be thinking of is a case that has to do with net neutrality and the FCC regulating. And he has been against allowing the FCC to be able to regulate in those instances. And so, again, people will point to that and say, see, he supports corporate and broadband business owners against the little guy. And so that, by inference, if would help with answering your caller's question. I'm going to write that down and go look that up. I will send you an answer to that if I know anything specific on campaign finance. That has not been on my radar.
Ian, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Pam in Oconto. Pam, hi. Pam?
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Basically what I'm saying is that I think that the Republicans basically set a precedent with the last Supreme Court justice that was sworn in when they said we should wait till the election and let the new president decide who was going to be looked at. I think it should be the same way. We got the midterm elections coming up. Why can't we wait until the midterm elections and then get the new people in and then go from there and vote?
Pam, thanks for the call. So, yeah, with the Merrick Garland nomination, Republicans said, hey, let's let voters put in a new president. Democrats are saying, okay, let's let voters decide on a new Senate before we go ahead here.
Yes, and that's where much of the anger comes from, the Democrats. The only thing I would caution about that is to recognize that through the election process, you are leaving someone out and away from the court with only eight justices to resolve the 10,000 cases that they get. And so it becomes this argument of justice delayed is justice denied. The argument is or could be that the Republicans should not have delayed it, nor should the Democrats have. So just because someone shoots you in the foot, do you turn around and shoot them in the foot? But that's the way it's going to be. And understand that Wisconsin is divided on this. You know, you gave the quote from Ron Johnson. It's my understanding that Tammy Baldwin has come out against the Supreme Court nominee. So, you know, the country is polarized, and these nominations are going to be polarized as a result. And I think that's the frustration that your caller is legitimately expressing.
Pam, thanks for that call. We're talking to Kimmy King from the University of North Texas about today's nomination hearings in the U.S. Senate for nominee Brett Kavanaugh. One image that's gotten a lot of attention already, Kimmy, during a break, Fred Gutenberg, father of one of the children killed in the Parkland school shooting, came up, introduced himself, tried to shake Judge Kavanaugh's hand. He turned away. We've heard a different take on that already from Rod Schoff with the White House. But this, the picture is going all over the place. Kind of an iconic moment already, if you can say that this soon.
Well, you're going to see a few more of those. I mean, I think most people looking at Kavanaugh, who seems to be a pretty easygoing, you know, serious person, but smiles a great deal, usually looked very serious and quite glum throughout the opening of the proceedings. And while I haven't seen the picture, I do know there has been much furor over a dissent that Kavanaugh gave from a majority opinion in the D.C. Circuit. That majority opinion upheld the ban on semi-automatic rifles. And Kavanaugh dissented, arguing that most guns today are semi-automatic, and so they are constitutionally protected. There was much outcry over that with Kavanaugh then, and so I'm sure he's been advised to sort of be very cautious about his public image. But you're going to continue to see those kinds of image moments be made throughout the hearings, both vocally and also visually, as people try to make statements that, again, are not about Kavanaugh, but are fundamentally about this process.
I want to give a listen to one more bit from today, Republican Senator John Cornyn.
And I sincerely hope this week we can all take a deep breath. We're not doing very well so far. And get a grip and treat this process with the respect and gravity it demands.
So can that happen, Kimmy?
I don't know. That's a, now you're in my backyard with Senator Cornyn here. I think what he's trying to do is to allow the proceedings to move forward. Certainly, if they're going to be interrupted every 10 seconds, it's going to create problems, and it does not reflect well on the legitimacy of the process if the views, both opposing and supporting, are not heard. Here's the real risk that can be run in this process. You saw with Justice Thomas, because he was badly bloodied in his confirmation process regarding the Anita Hill scandal, he certainly had a reaction to that and came away very bitter as a result of it. It's too soon to tell whether that was the case with Gorsuch. He certainly hasn't appeared to be that way. But there can be a brutalizing of a nominee so that it forces them into a position. And that's the difficult situation that I think Democrats and Republicans are going to find themselves in as they go forward with this, that they are both going to have to live with how tough they are or how critical they are of the candidates put forward, because it's going to play itself out in future nomination battles, I can guarantee you.
Kimmy, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
You betcha. It's always fun. Support your public radio, people.
Kimmy King is a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. We've been talking about the political fight over the confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.